This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs. I apologize for yesterday's cancellation. We had a flood in the basement here at my house. It was not fun, so we had to reschedule. But we're back here today. Our co-host, TJ Inman, will join us shortly, and we'll be joined by Matt Weaver from Pegs.com. A lot of news to talk about, recruiting news, some coaching news, and just a lot of IU football news here in the last 36, 48 hours or so. So right now I'd like to bring in TJ Inman. TJ, how are you? Maybe this is Matt. Matt, is this you?
Yeah, this is Matt.
Hey, Matt. Big recruiting week this last week. I think IU's landed four commits in the last week or so. How is this class coming together?
It seems to be coming together pretty good. I mean, obviously going into the dead period, it was very heavy on defensive players. They only had, five offensive guys, two tight ends, and three offensive linemen. They've since picked up a running back, a couple receivers, and a quarterback that they got just this week in Nick Tronte. So they're getting to the point where you can kind of be picky. They got a couple guys coming this weekend they'd love to land, and Bobby Roundtree, a defensive end, and Devin Barrett, four-star running back, both from Florida. And obviously those guys are difference-make type players. They would be huge gets for Indiana. So you're kind of at the point where the class is pretty much done. You're just kind of, like I said, there's just a few spots left, and you can kind of be, well, hopefully pick and choose who you want, but, it may get to the point where you're kind of, left with who you get.
Right, and now TJ is joining us. So, TJ, welcome to the show, and sorry about canceling yesterday.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, I apologize for jumping on a tad bit late. Matt, as always, thanks for joining us. It's great to have you on.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
So, Matt, this class seems to, Saturday Tradition, another website, came out with, the best recruiting classes of each Big Ten team in the last 5 years. I believe they went with the 2012 class instead of the 2013 class for IU, which I agree with. But can this class be the best class that IU has had in the last, 6 or 7 years?
Well, I mean, it's kind of hard to predict that just because you have to see what they do on the field. I do think at certain positions, this class is as good as they've ever gotten. The defensive line group they put together is really, really good. I really like the linebackers they brought in. They brought in no linebackers last year, and they've got three right now, and Thomas Allen, Coach Allen's son, Mo Burnham, and Mike McGinnis, and there's a chance they could add one more. So I think from that standpoint, they only got two receivers, but I think they've got two good ones. I think Walt Fillior is a guy that could play right away, as a returner, but I think he can get on the field in the slot. He's a dynamic playmaker, kind of like a Shane Wynn, but he's bigger and a little bit stronger. So I like what they've done. On paper, the 2013 class I think was probably by far the best class Indiana's had, and it turned out, quite honestly, to be kind of a bust. A lot of those guys didn't pan out. The 2012 class, if I'm not mistaken, was that the one with Feeney and Spriggs and Sudfeld and those guys? And that class was really good. But on paper, I don't think it stacked up as far as the rankings with the 13 class.
Yeah, they also had Tevin Coleman in that class. Matt, you mentioned Wop Fillior as a guy who could be an instant impact guy. Are there anybody else who could come in and play as a true freshman in this class?
Well, I think you got to look at where Indiana's needs are. And for me, even though they didn't lose a lot on the D-line, the defensive group at Indiana, while they were a pleasant surprise this past season. Overall, it's not an incredibly talented group. You don't really have any true what I would call difference makers. And, you know, the probably the best player of the group, Ralph Green, is obviously graduated and moving on. So you look at a guy like Juan Harris, you know, and obviously Juan was an interesting recruit to follow because he decommitted and committed so many times. And he was, you know, on Twitter, he was kind of an interesting guy to keep track of. But he's very talented. I mean, he is a large human being. He's got to get in better shape, but he's on campus. He'll go through spring ball. He'll get to participate in strength and conditioning. So if he gets in shape, he's a guy that I think could get in the mix. And then you look at the edge guys. Indiana really needs some athleticism, in my opinion, speed and athleticism on the edge. Guys who can get to the quarterback without having to blitz. And you got Lance Bryant. You got Tramar Reese. If you get Bobby Roundtree, that's another guy. So those are some guys I could see playing. I think Juwan Burgess is a safety. Both their safeties are back, but he is a really, really talented guy. LaDainian Hunt at corner. Indiana's a little thin at corner after A'shaun Riggins and Rashard Fant. So he's a guy that could definitely get on the field this year. And then at running back, we don't know if we'll find out on signing day, but I feel pretty confident they're going to get a Morgan Ellison. I think he's a guy that could play because after Camion, they don't really have a power back who's kind of dynamic. I mean, A-Rod is A-Rod. He can give you some power, but he's not really a dynamic athlete. Morgan Ellison's a pretty good athlete, kind of Jordan Howard-esque in the way he plays. So I think he's a guy that can get on the field. And if you get Devin Barrett, he's playing. I mean, he's a stud. He's a Tevin Coleman type. So those are the kind of the guys off the top of my head. I wouldn't be shocked to see Tyler Knight maybe getting the mix at guard. I know he's a freshman, but he's on campus. Now, obviously, you know, have a new O-line coach. You have to see who he likes. But those are some of the names kind of off the top of my head that I think have a shot to play right away.
How about a quarterback?
One of the guys I wanted to ask you about was Nick Tronti at quarterback. I understand that, you know, the star system and the prospect rankings are, you know, certainly you don't take it as gospel, but it's a general indicator. The best recruiting classes consistently, the best recruited guys and the highest recruited guys consistently typically end up being the teams that have the best, you know, seasons. But Nick Tronti is a player that when I look at him and when I read about him and I see the stats and the production he put up and how he could fit in this system, it seems to me like he's a whole heck of a lot better than a typical two-star recruit. I happen to be very excited about his future at Indiana. Am I just crazy and kind of falling for the intangible side of things, or might I have, you know, kind of a realistic view of his ranking, maybe not being quite the player that he could be?
Yeah, I think, I mean, you know, with rankings, I obviously worked for Rivals and I worked for Scout and, you know, was really never involved in rankings, would get asked my opinion, but I'm not sure. To me, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Some guys see different things. To me, he's a solid three-star player. UN Mr. Football in Florida, that's like winning Mr. Basketball in Indiana. It's a big-time football state. He put up video game-type numbers, took his team to the state title. With his recruiting, he got some big offers late. But, you know, like I was just – before I came on here, I was just looking. Of the top 23 quarterbacks, according to Scout, in the 2018 class, 16 of them are already committed. For 2018, we're not even to signing day for 2017. That's how early quarterbacks commit. I went to some other positions. At running back, there's not even five guys in the top 30 who have committed. I mean, that's just the nature of the beast. And by the time he blew up his senior year and had that monster season, everybody's done with quarterbacks because they usually take one. You may have a few schools that take two, but for the most part, they take one guy. So that's kind of why, in my opinion, his recruiting was basically mid-major because all the big schools had filled up. And he's not prototypical size. He's 6'2", probably at best. But he's got, if you see the pictures that he posted when he committed, this is a jacked up kid. I mean, this is not Xander Diamant. I mean, he's a legit 205, muscular guy, can throw the ball, doesn't have a monster arm. I've kind of compared him to, I think his arm is comparable to Cam Kaufman, who I thought had a good enough arm to win. Cam Kaufman had a good season when he was here, and he runs kind of like Xander, but he's got more strength and more size. I'm with you, TJ. I'm excited about Nick Tronti. Now, will he play as a freshman? We'll see. I think he'll be given a chance to. I think quarterback will be I mean, it'll be open as in there'll be competition. I think Richard Lego, right now you can pencil him as a starter, but I say that in pencil because I don't think it's set in stone. But I think Tronte has a bright future, and I think Indiana is going to – people down the road are going to say that they got a steal here.
That's I was going to ask you, you know, does he have a legitimate shot, even, you know, not being in spring, to kind of maybe get that backup role and play like Xander did this past year?
I think there's a shot. I mean, you have to remember, they're going to have a new offense. Now, scheme-wise, it's probably going to be fairly similar to what they were running. There's probably going to be a little bit different. But the biggest thing is, you know, what might have been called a certain play in Kevin Wilson's offense, the same play could be called something different in Mike DeBoer's offense. So even though the play is the same, they're going to have to learn a whole new playbook with new terminology and stuff like that. So he's going to be, obviously, those 15 practices that he will not get in spring, he's going to be behind. But everything I've talked to his quarterback coach, this is a football, you know, gym rat type of guy. I mean, he loves the game. He works hard at it. I mean, obviously you can tell he works hard in the weight room. I mean, this is a guy that's going to put in the time and effort. So he's going to have some catching up to do, but I think his skill set, because he's a dual threat guy who can run and throw, it gives him a chance to at least, you know, get his foot in the door as far as maybe being in the top, you know, top two guys going into the season. You know, now Peyton Ramsey's a similar kind of guy. I think Austin King's the guy that's really going to have to, you know, have a great spring and fall because he doesn't give you the running threat, but he can really throw the ball. But I like Nick Tronte's chances, and he was recruited by this staff. Let's not forget that these guys on the roster, they're here.
Yeah.
But coaches a lot of times go with the guys that they really, really went after, and this was Sean Watson's guy and Mike DeBoer's guy. Does that mean it'll be his guy in the fall? We'll see. But he's going to get a chance to compete, I guarantee that.
Yeah, I was going through Mr. Football Award winners in Florida. Tronte is not the first to go to Indiana. So everybody who was shocked, Frankie Franklin won the award in 1995. He played a couple years at Indiana in the late 90s.
Oh, yeah.
He went to Sandalwood. Nick Tronte is not the first one. But other winners include guys like Anquan Boldin, Leon Washington, who played at Florida State and was an outstanding kick returner for the Jets. Tim Tebow, of course. Robert Marv, who went to Purdue. His career was kind of derailed by injury, but he was a very hard-nosed, gritty player. Derrick Henry, Duke Johnson, Dalvin Cook. And just to have his name in there with those guys it says something. You know, you can't, as Matt, you said, you can't put all your eggs in the rankings basket. From my understanding, Puente Vedra was notoriously bad at football until last year when I think they made a run to the semifinals or something, a deep playoff run. A deep playoff run for a school, so maybe he got overlooked and things like that. So he's a guy I'm excited about. I wish he was in for spring practice so we could get to see him. But, Matt, this recruiting class, you know, we now have Greg Fry going to Michigan at an absurd 3 years, $1.7 million, you told me. What's going to be the impact of that on this recruiting class?
I don't think it's going to impact the current class because we're almost a signing day. I mean, you know, the only guys you would think would really be nervous or maybe kind of wavering would be the O-line recruits, and you've got technically two of them are on campus. I mean, Ryan Smith was last year, but he gray-shirted in the fall, and he's on campus now. And then Tyler Knight is on campus. But you still got Harry Kreider, the center from Columbus, and then Caleb Jones, the O-tackle from Indianapolis. I don't think either guy – I think both guys will stick. If there was one that I would probably you might be worried about would be Caleb Jones because he was really close to Kevin Wilson and to Greg Fry. I could see where it'd be he committed more to them than to Indiana, whereas I think Kreider's committed to Indiana. I don't think he goes anywhere. And I don't think either one of them will, but that's just if I had to pick one, I would say Caleb would be the guy I'd be more worried about. And I haven't heard anything to make me think that. As far as I know, he's not visiting anywhere this weekend. So if he doesn't go anywhere this weekend, I think it's pretty safe to say he's going to sign with Indiana on Wednesday.
Now, Fry was obviously really involved in Florida recruiting, especially in the Tampa, Clearwater, you know, the Largo guys he was involved with. And to that point, it is a blow. But those guys are all defensive guys, you know, for the most part. You know, obviously, you have a couple offensive guys from Plant, but that was more Tom Allen and Grant Hurd recruiting those guys. So I don't think, as far as this class, now going forward, you're going to want to try to find a coach to fill his shoes that either has great recruiting ties, hopefully in that area, or in another hotbed for football, whether it be Texas or another part of Florida. You know, you want to have somebody who can, you know, either has ties or, you know, you feel like has the kind of personality that can quickly develop those connections. But, you know, it's a tough loss, but you can't really blame Coach Fry if some of the things you heard. I mean, if he's, you know, they're paying three coaches $1 million, I don't think he's getting that, but he's obviously probably going to get well paid, and it's going to be a multi-year deal. And, you know, at Michigan, you're obviously closer to the national title than you are at Indiana, so I can understand the move. But my experience is no coach is irreplaceable. As good as he is, and he was really good, you know, there's guys out there that I think can come in and do a great job, and I'm sure Tom Allen already has a short list of names that he's looking at.
Now, yeah. Before we get into some names who could replace him, one of the hot topics that came up when it was learned that Fry was leaving was paying assistant coaches. Now, to my understanding, I don't have the figures in front of me, but it seems Indiana has moved back into the competitive pay group, and they're kind of hamstrung a little bit because of budgets, you know, and fans complain that IU needs to step up. Well, you know, I'm going to put the challenge back on the fans. In an interview with Pete DiPremio earlier this week, maybe even last week, Fred Glass came out and said that, you know, attendance for football is an issue, and they're basically missing out on $10 million a year if they have, you know, the announced attendance is what it is. It's, you know, made up for all intents and purposes. But if you could get a real 45 to 50,000 people in that, IU is missing out on $10 million, and that's money that they can put into the assistance pool. It can put into a head coaching pool, can use it for other programs as well. And then, of course, keeping up with the arms race that is the football facilities and athletic facilities and all that. So, Matt, is IU competitive in their paying of assistant coaches?
They're competitive with the schools that, in my opinion, right now they're on par with, which would be in Illinois, Minnesota, Purdue, you know, Rutgers, Maryland. Those schools that they're kind of in the same boat with. Are they competitive with Michigan and Ohio State and Penn State? Probably not. I mean, they're not. I mean, Michigan's got three guys. Of course, right now nobody's competitive with Michigan. I mean, that's almost become like a pro team the way they're paying their coaches. So, I mean, they've made strides. They still got to keep you. I mean, every year it just keeps going up and up. So you got to keep up with it. And you're absolutely right. I mean, one of the biggest. I mean, $10 million a year is a lot of money. That's, you know, I mean, I'm sure it wouldn't all go to football, but I would I guess a sizable chunk of it would. And that's stuff that could be used for coaches' salaries and things like that. The one thing, you know, that Indiana does need to do. I'm not sure with how they've done it with Coach Allen coming in. They need to give assistant coaches multi-year deals because in the past it's always been year to year. Assistant coaches basically work year to year, and their contracts should either be renewed or not. And typically they were renewed unless there was a coaching change or something like that. But, you know, a lot of teams and programs are giving their assistants 2 and 3 year deals. And then my point thing is if your head coach has got a 5 or 6 year deal, and I think that's probably about what Tom Allen's going to have. We haven't seen the figures yet, but why not let him have his assistants for 2 or 3 years? I mean, it only makes sense that they have, you know, there's some security. And I'm not saying Indiana's not doing that, but if they're not, that will be used against them, and it's going to be harder and harder to keep quality coaches because if you're a coach, you can go somewhere, they're going to give you a 2 or 3 year deal, and if you would get fired, you're still getting paid, as opposed to Indiana, if you get fired, you're not going to get paid past that year. It's a no-brainer. You're not going to stay, so – that would be one of the things I would say. But I think overall they're competitive with the schools that they're currently kind of competing with.
Right. Matt, who are some of the coaches? I know we've talked privately about it, and one of the names that I've seen thrown around on Twitter by, you know, various accounts is Justin Fry from BC. He's an Indiana kid. He played at IU. He's posted stuff when he's at BC with the patch of Hep that they wore on their jerseys after he passed away and how big of an impact he had on his career. What are some of the other guys, especially this late in the game, that IU could get to fill in for Coach Greg Fry?
Well, I mean, you know, to me, I mean, I went out and just did a little bit of research. I have no idea if the guys, and Justin Fry was the first name that came up because of the connections and because he looked like a good coach. I mean, I've not followed, you know, Temple and BC closely, but, you know, he went to Temple with Adazio. They did well there, went to BC, and they've done pretty well there at a school where it's not incredibly easy to win at with the academics they have there. And obviously you're in a pretty good conference in the ACC. But he's the offensive coordinator, run game, or offensive line coach and run game coordinator there. Another guy I came up with, and TJ might remember him, Bart Miller. He was the O-line coach at Wisconsin. I think Bielema's last year, they ran for like 290 yards a game. They brought in Gary Anderson when Bielema went to Arkansas. Alvarez really, really encouraged and urged Anderson to keep Bart Miller, but he wanted to bring in his own guy. So Miller was kind of left out in the cold. He played at New Mexico in college. I think he went to New Mexico State after that, went to FAU, and then was up at Minnesota this past year, his first season there. And then obviously kind of got, you know, the short end of the stick with that whole deal with the sex scandal and Tracy Clay's got fired. So basically the staff got, you know, got dumped, and he's, as far as I know, has not been picked up by anybody. I think that would be a great hire, too. If you get one of those two guys, that would be a really good hire. And then Bob Bostad, who was at Wisconsin, went to the NFL for a little while. He's an O-line coach at Northern Illinois. I would think that Indiana could obviously offer him more money. And that, to me, that would be another good hire. He was the head coach when they had all those great running seasons at Wisconsin under Bielema. Miller took over, actually, for Bostad that last year, because I think Bostad went to Tampa Bay to work for Schiano, if I'm not mistaken. So those are three names I came up with. I think, you know, I'm sure, you know, Mike DeBoard is an O-line guy, played it, has coached that position. He's probably got guys in mind. Whether they're the same guys I have, I don't know. I'm sure Tom Allen has guys in mind. But, you know, if it was one of those three guys, I think Indiana fans should be happy because those are all three, to my opinion, really quality O-line coaches.
Yeah, that's a good list. I am a big fan of the way that, and it's not just the numbers, the way that Wisconsin's offensive lines played under Brett Bielema. Just the physicality that they played with, the type of guys that they recruited were, you know, not 4- and 5-star guys when they went to Wisconsin. They developed guys, they usually redshirted and then started playing when they were typically redshirt sophomores or redshirt juniors. Started getting into the rotation and, you know, the track record of success that they had was, you know, speaks for itself. And that's not, you know, that's not all the offensive line coach, but that's a big part of it. So getting someone that is familiar with that type of system, I think would be a big boon for IU. And that's a really good shout there from you, Matt. Going back to the class real quick, two guys that I wanted to ask you about, and you touched on Juwan Burgess, but him and Bryant Fitzgerald are two players that remind me a lot of Jonathan Crawford as potential, you know, difference-making safeties. Is that fair of me to make that comparison? You know, not an exact comparison, but just in terms of their playmaking ability, and they'll likely be used as safeties. Do you think that's accurate? And I look at Juwan Burgess as a player that, the circumstances were a little bit strange because not strange, but ideal for Indiana because of his familiarity with the Allen family, being from playing high school. But flipping a commit from USC is a big deal no matter what the circumstances are. And to me, he looks like a type of dynamic guy that you could use in multiple ways, not just as a safety, but also as a, you know, special teams contributor as well. So if you could talk just about Juwan Burgess and Bryant Fitzgerald and the impact that they could have as playmakers on Indiana's team.
Yeah, absolutely. And I should have mentioned Brian Fitzgerald because I think he's another guy who's got a shot to play as a freshman. Now he could be a safety. He could also be maybe that Husky position that Marcelino Ball plays. Obviously, Marcelino is a true freshman and he's going to be the guy. But depending on, and Zeke Walker was kind of the backup, and you know maybe Zeke plays some more linebacker. But I think Brian Fitzgerald has a chance to get in the mix too because I watched him play live and I've obviously watched his film. This kid hits like a ton of bricks. I mean, he is a heat-seeking missile on defense. He can come downfield, and he can really – and they used him. I mean, Avon, he would play on this, as a slot corner. He would play middle or outside linebacker, and then he would play deep safety, like free safety. So he has got experience playing those positions. Juwan Burgess, his coach told me that he's pretty sure Nian's going to use him as a free safety. But I think he's a guy that – when you're going against maybe a spread team, you know, a team that's going to have four receivers, he's a guy that could probably go down the slot and cover receivers. His coach said as a deep safety, he's a ball hawk guy. I think Jonathan Crawford is a great comparison. That's who I've kind of compared him to. And he's long and lanky, athletic, you know, and obviously playing receiver, he's got those ball skills. And then he mentioned he thinks that Juwan could come in and be an impact guy, a returner on special teams. So I think he's a guy that's really got a bright future, and I think he's a guy that can really make an impact, you know, really, really early on. Now, Indiana does have some good depth at safety with Tony Fields and Chase Jutra, and obviously we mentioned Jonathan Crawford, and they got some other guys there. Khalil Bryant was a true freshman. But, you know, they're going to play the best guys, and Juwan Burgess, when he steps on the field, is probably going to be right up there with Jonathan Crawford as the most talented safety they've got on this team. So he's going to have a shot to play. And same thing with Brian Fitzgerald. He's a talented guy, and he's good against – he can cover the pass, and he's good against the run, which makes him, you know, to me, an ideal fit for that Husky or strong safety type of guy. So I think both guys – I think you hit the nail on the head. I think they're both guys that could come in and really help immediately.
Thanks, Matt. Any more questions, TJ?
Morgan Ellison, a player that you know you touched on, he's a guy that I think he tweeted out he was going to commit on Wednesday. And it's IU is kind of the perceived leader there. He has mentioned you know wanting to play in the Big Ten, and Indiana obviously an opportunity to do that. Interesting player, mainly because he missed most of his sophomore and junior year with broken legs, and then his senior year for Pickerington, very productive. And I am not an expert, but when I watch the tape of his senior year highlights against very good competition in Ohio, he's in a very competitive part of Ohio and the biggest class in Ohio, so those are not chumps that he's playing against. Do not understand why there were not more teams after this guy. Was it strictly the injuries that were a concern for people, or had they just filled up spots at running back and just felt like they didn't have a spot for another running back? Or I think that if he ends up at Indiana, IU is really going to end up with, and this is even if they don't get Barrett. I mean, if they get Barrett plus Ellison plus the running back that they got from Booker T. Washington, another situation that you know he comes on late as a senior, that really is the first time he had a chance to produce, and he did just that, put up big numbers for a Florida power. I think Indiana might have gone from running back being kind of a concern depth-wise, especially after this coming season, to restocking the backfield in an incredible way this late in the class. Am I a bit too optimistic about that? Because Ellison looks like a star to me.
Yeah, I think with Ellison is he had literally no tape from his sophomore and junior year. I think his sophomore season, he told me he played, he got hurt, I think his second game or after the second game. So basically he had one game of tape. And then he missed that whole year, and then he transferred to Pickerington Central, I think is the high school he is at. And because of the transfer rules, he had to sit out like 5 weeks. So he broke his other leg the week after the fifth week and the week before he was going to be able to play. And he could have come back that season, his junior year, late in the year, but he told me that he wanted to rehab and just make sure he was 100%, so there was nothing else, no more issues. And then obviously he had the monster season, and you're not kidding about the competition. They went to the state semifinals and lost to St. X by, I think, 2 points, and St. X from Cincinnati, St. Xavier, won the state title, and St. X in Cincinnati is a fantastic program. He did this against, I think, 1,800 yards, if I'm not mistaken. He is, like I said, he's Jordan Howard-esque. I don't think he has quite the athleticism that Jordan Howard did. I mean, Jordan had great feet. For a big guy, his feet were amazing. And he was faster, I think, than people gave him credit for. This kid's a 4.55, maybe 4.6, which is still fast enough at 225, 230 pounds. He's a load coming downhill. He's a power back. And it's something they really need because, like I said, after Camion, there's not a power back. And obviously, Camion's a senior. So after this year, you needed to get that big back. Craig Nelson, when I worked at IU years ago, I had a coach tell me that Dade County had more Division I players than the states of Indiana and Illinois combined if you took out Chicago. That's pretty remarkable. That's one county in Florida, and he was all Dade County after this season. That's like being all state, pretty much any state in this country except for maybe Georgia and Texas and California. I mean, he's a smaller guy, but he's a speed guy. He played corner. He's a little short, but he could probably play corner in college. He's like 5'9", 5'10". But he's going to give them a guy you can use in the slot. He'll be a running back, but you can kind of use him all over the field. People say two-star. Give me all the two-star guys from Florida that Indiana can get if I'm the coaches. Because I'm telling you right now, two-star guys in Florida are as good as high three-star and even four-star guys in the Midwest. I'll take that all day long because those guys – there are so many players down there that it kind of gets watered down with the rankings. And a guy who's a two-star there, if he played in Indiana or he played in Illinois or he played in Michigan, would be have a different rating. It's just the way it is. And they have tons of speed down there. So I'll take all the Florida guys I can get. I don't care what the rating is.
Yeah, and the big play explosion is really something Indiana's offense desperately missed with Camion not being good to go at running back last year. And they didn't have that explosiveness out of the backfield. And I think getting Cole Guest back healthy, getting Camion in there at running back, and hopefully 100%, and then adding Craig Nelson, another big back that had a number of big plays, mainly because he just ran over people. I'm just really excited about the work that they've been able to do late with this backfield. And then if you add Barrett, obviously that's a whole different level of excitement there. But I don't think that's a must-get position next season. So,
And you talk about explosive players. I think you could also go to receiver. When Simi went down and then they lost Jayshon, Nick Westbrook had a good season. You could throw the ball downfield to him, but he's not a guy that's going to take a 10-yard slant probably and go 70 or 80 yards. Walt Follier can do that. Jayshon, hopefully if he's 100%, he could do that. He can get him out in space. Those guys can make plays. Simi gives you some, when he comes back, some big plays. So it wasn't, the running game definitely did not have that dynamic element that they've had the previous couple of years with Jordan Howard, and obviously Tevin Coleman was so special. These guys coming in, Craig Nelson, Cole Guest getting healthy. That was a great point there because I think Cole Guest has a chance to be a really good player. Devin Barrett is Tevin Coleman-esque. I mean, he's kind of a pie in the sky right now, but you never know. I mean, they can convince him this weekend. I like their chances. I like their chances when you get him on the last weekend before the visit. Now, it's still going to be tough, but, it's only got three visitors, him and Roundtree and Tremar Reese, all from the same area. They've got a bunch of Tampa guys already committed. So, maybe that kind of peer pressure, those guys can text with him and stuff, but he would be obviously a big-time get. But I think they've really upgraded their skill players, especially on offense with this class.
Matt, great stuff as usual. We'll let you get back to your busy life, and thanks for jumping on with us.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Yeah, Matt, thanks a lot.
All right. All right, that was Matt Weaver from Pegs.com. We're talking Indiana football recruiting. Just one more topic, TJ, before we wrap up the show. I want to talk about the Senior Bowl and Dan Feeney. I've caught a few of the Senior Bowl practices on NFL Network. I believe they're on in the afternoon all this week. Dan Feeney has been absolutely destroying people at the Senior Bowl. We've retweeted the stuff that scouts and analysts are saying on Twitter. that he's, you know, mean, nasty, and I mean, he's a nice dude, but his play is physical and mean and nasty and things like that. So if you want to watch one of the all-time IU greats one more time, the Senior Bowl is on Sunday, I believe. Saturday. It's Saturday the 28th at 2:30. It's on NFL Network. If you want to see Dan Feeney one more time, I suggest tuning into that. I'm excited about it. I've watched a lot of the Senior Bowl stuff. It's fun when they talk about a guy like Dan Feeney because it shows you where IU has gone in the last couple of years. And don't forget that Ralph Green played last week in the East-West Shrine Game, made a tackle, had some good highlights in practice as well. So these IU seniors who are getting ready for the draft and all that stuff, they're getting good exposure at these postseason games, which, you know, that now you see players playing in them. And this game is, aside from being scouted and all these practices, really doesn't matter who wins. So I'll get into another meaningless bowl rant at some other time. But we'll have our draft expert on in the next couple weeks to talk about Dan Feeney, talk about Ralph Green, and all the other IU players, including Devon Redding and Marcus Oliver, who are looking to make the jump to the next level. TJ, any final thoughts?
Well, yeah, I think Ralph Green had a successful trip to the Shrine Game. You know, for these all-star games, it's really about the practices and being able to just be around NFL personnel, that they can see how you interact with other people, see how you perform on the field in a practice setting. And obviously, you know, if you have a big game, that's important as well, but it's really about those practices. And it seems like Ralph Green improved his stock by being there and by the work he did in the practices. And then Dan Feeney, it seems to be a pretty unanimous consensus right now that he's the best guard in this class. And here's what's going to happen in the NFL draft. You're going to have the analysts up there, Kuiper and McShay and, you know, Mike Mayock. Whenever Dan Feeney gets picked, which is probably going to end up being somewhere in the middle of the first round, whenever Dan Feeney gets picked, you're going to hear the analysts say, well, you know, you typically don't have this high of a, you know, this isn't a value pick for a guard going this high in the draft, but, you know, we love this guy. That's what they're going to say, because they will have studied the tape, they will have talked to NFL personnel, and it seems almost unanimous that people just love the way Dan Feeney plays, and they love, he's a plug-and-play guy. You put him on an NFL offensive line as a rookie, and he's probably going to succeed and probably going to have a very nice long career. So that's what you're going to hear, is them talk about the value for an offensive guard not being great at this spot, but we love Dan Feeney and it's a great pick, yada, yada, and they're going to rave about him. It's really good for IU that, you know, Tevin Coleman in the Super Bowl, Jason Spriggs in the NFC title game, Jordan Howard in the Pro Bowl.
Very well could
be a first-round pick.
Rookie of the year.
Yeah.
If Elliott doesn't have his rookie year as well. But I think Howard ran for more regular season yards. He also had Shane Wins on a roster in Jacksonville. Darius Latham played well in Oakland undrafted free agent. So, you know, all these guys who are from IU, and there's a great Twitter account. I think it's Hoosiers in the Pro Bowl or something like that. I don't know it off the top of my head. But he tweets out the active IU players, I believe in every sport, every pro sport for it. But when it comes to football season, you always see, you know, now you're seeing a handful of guys. You had Cody Latimer won a Super Bowl last year, and then the guys you rattled off too. So it's great to see. I'm looking forward to the NFL draft. As far as Feeney, as a Jets fan, I am dreading it because right now they have them taking Deshaun Kizer at six. So I don't know if my TV will make it to Dan Feeney's pick if the Jets take Sean Kizer at six.
Got to keep trying to find that franchise quarterback, Sammy. Got to keep trying, apparently.
I miss the days of Kyle Brady. Anyway, that's a little tangent and maybe a glimpse into life being a Jet fan, but it'd be cool to see Dan Feeney taken by the Colts just to stay locally and watch him week in and week out. But I think going back to IU and recruiting, TJ, I think this class has the potential to be a special class. It's Tom Allen's first. Not really first class.
Quasi.
It's
quasi.
Yeah, quasi. I feel like the 2018 class really is his first, his own class. But he's put a stamp on his class, getting these guys out of Plant High School in Florida, where his son went, getting Tronti. That's his staff stamp on this class. And I think a lot of these guys, it
Fred
seems
Nelson.
To me, and I was – mention it. I was talking with one of our followers on Twitter that these guys all seem to be under-recruited and have a chip on their shoulder and really want to come and prove themselves and prove other people wrong at IU. And I think that will, you know, really fuel those players the next couple of years and really make this class a jumping-off point, even though the rankings have IU in the low 50s. We'll see where they land. I mean, if they land Roundtree, Ellison, and Devin Barrett, that class, those are three difference makers could jump that class up fairly high. So it's a good start to the Tom Allen era. I think all these guys are going to play with the chip on their shoulder and really add competition to what was already there. And, you know, maybe some guys don't start on offense or defense, but can become impact players on special teams. And that's an area where IU needs an impact player. If one of these guys can become a dynamic kick returner or punt returner now that, you know, Mitchell Page has graduated, or, you know, that guy who just goes down and blows people up like Greg Gooch did in the bowl game, it's going to be a great class. Not everybody's going to start on offense, defense, and make an impact there. But if a freshman can become a weapon on special teams, I think that will make next season much more successful for Indiana football.
Yeah, the special teams has to improve, and it's an area that Tom Allen has publicly talked about. It has to improve, and he's putting an emphasis on it, which is something that was not done under the previous administration. You know, he's offered some preferred walk-on spots to some guys, kicker, punters. Brought in Hayden Whitehead, bit of a mystery man from Australia. We don't know exactly how
the
that'll play
minute,
out. But
there was a five-minute YouTube clip that of him kicking. Now, there was no rush or anything, and it's not pads.
Right.
But he was bombing punts. It looked like 50, 60 yards on
he's
the fly.
He's got a big leg, sure.
I believe he's a lefty, too. And as a guy who used to field punts from a lefty punter in warm-ups, it's no fun. The ball comes
It's weird. It's different.
It's all weird. The spin's weird. It comes at you at a weird angle. So hopefully they get that. And it'll make the offense and defense that much better. You know, if you could get a kick return to the 50, I mean, I don't think IU got a kick return the last 2 years to the 50. It'd be hard-pressed to find one that went out to the 40, aside from, like, an onside kick attempt. But, you know, when you're starting the offense from the 25 on back, you just can't get it going. And I know I sound like I'm making excuses for this offense that they should be able to go 75 yards, but this offense cannot go 75 yards each and every drive. You know, starting at the 50 or the 40 will help them so much in terms of getting points on the board. Maybe they're not as tired or unfocused in the red zone as well. So hopefully some of these guys can be those impact players on special teams that we've harped on for a couple years now as being one of the things that is holding IU back in terms of winning these close games?
Yeah, just the occasional shot in the arm plays, really. It's not going to be a every time occurrence. Nobody does that, but just the occasional shot in the arm plays make all the difference in the world. So
yeah, you saw it against Ohio State last year.
That's right. Yep.
Ohio State and Nebraska, IU had big score. I think they tied the game against Ohio State with under a minute or around a minute left. They returned a kickoff inside IU's 10. Nebraska does the same thing and puts points on the board before halftime and changes the whole dynamic of the game. So it's, I think, about time that Indiana takes a page from them and becomes good in special teams. Again, we've seen it before with Lance Bennett, Marcus Sigpen, Tevin Coleman was a game changer on special teams as well. So it's about time to get back to those roots and having a dynamic kick returner.
That would be tremendous. Yeah, and there are some guys in this class that have the ability to do that. So we'll see. But it has to be the whole unit that performs well. So, I'm excited about the class as a whole. There's no doubt.
Yep. Well, signing day is next Wednesday, February 1st. We'll have all your coverage. TJ, you've done almost all the profiles already, so you know these recruits pretty well. We'll have those out when they announce and sign and fax. It's the one day a year people still use fax machines. When they fax these letters of intent in, I can't believe they can't scan them and email them. When they fax them in on Wednesday morning, well, maybe Xerox or somebody is, sponsoring signing day now. We'll put out these profiles, we'll have a class breakdown, who we think will be the biggest impact guys, a freshman, a sleeper, top recruit, things like that. So we're excited about this class. We're excited, to see if any of these last three guys pull the trigger this week or they wait until Wednesday. So stick with us at HoosierHuddle.com. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. We'll have another podcast post-signing day, hopefully with Matt, to go over the official class and see who's officially Hoosiers at the end of that day. But other than that, after this, we're getting ready for spring ball. They don't have an official date yet. I believe it'd probably be mid-March when they start. Mm-hmm. I know under Wilson they like to start before spring break, have a break, and then get back after it. After that, we'll see what Tom Allen and his staff decide. Hopefully they come out and announce it soon so we could get our previews out to our fans so they can know what we think and what's going on at each position. So, TJ, thanks for joining us today. Always a pleasure talking IU football.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's great. Love having Matt on and love talking about this recruiting class. And like you said, spring ball will be here before we know it. So, just hang in there, get through the winter, and we'll start peeking ahead to the spring.
Yep. Well, that does it for today's Hoosier Huddle podcast. Sorry about the cancellation yesterday. Sorry we missed out on Mitchell Page. We'll try and get him back on the show in the future, talk about his future, his time at IU, and things like that. So hopefully we can get Mitchell with us. So thanks for listening. Signing day is 6 days away. Get ready, and we'll talk to you then.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.